Welcome to my show entitled Women Influencers. I am Veronica Malolas, CCIM founder and CEO of Capstack Commercial, a commercial real estate company serving the greater Orlando area. Today's guest is Tiffany Curry. Raised in a hardworking entrepreneurial family, Tiffany went to a historically black college and university in Texas, where she discovered a passion for real estate and in building communities. She now owns one of the most successful real estate companies in her state. Please don't forget to hit that thumbs up button and subscribe below. I welcome your comments and please share with someone who can benefit from this podcast.
Hi, Tiffany. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Veronica?
I am really good now that you're here. I'm so happy to have you. Thank you for gracing our podcast. If you don't mind, I just wanted to kind of jump right in. I wanted to ask you about your story, how you grew up in your environment, and how you got to where you are today.
Well, first off, thanks for asking that question, because that's a rare question that most people overlook. I actually grew up the oldest of three children, the only girl with two younger brothers. And then over the years, my parents actually adopted two of my cousins. So instead of a household of three kids, we became a household of five. And so I was a big sister to the other four, which was really great now, fast forward for where I am now. And I actually grew up here in Houston, Texas. I come from a humble family, a working family. So my grandfather actually was an entrepreneur. So he had his own business. He had his own bar. At some point he had two, and he did very well for himself. So he was self-made, but he also wanted my dad and his brother, his two sons, to understand the value of hard work and working for what you want. And so he did not give them everything. He made them work for it because he felt like they would be better people because of it.
And wow. Let me just say, that's amazing. That's amazing family value. So please, yes, continue.
Yeah. So because of that, he had money, but we didn't. He was always there to help if we needed it, but he wanted his sons to become their own man. That was very strong for him with his upbringing with his father and with his father's father. And so he wanted to carry that tradition on with his sons, because he felt like if you give them everything, they won't be as good. They would not be the people that he wanted them to be, or the man
amazing.
That he wanted them to be.
And that's so amazing.
And so because of that, my uncle actually went to the Army. So he is a veteran and he has done some great things in his life and his career. And my father was a working father. And so we grew up in a working class family where my parents actually worked for everything that they had. And I learned the value of that work ethic early on because that's what I saw in my household. And I would say that was because of my grandfather. And then I went on to college at an HBCU. So if you don't know what an HBCU is, it's a historically black college and university. And the reason for those universities, because there was a time in our country where people of color were not allowed to go to the same universities as everyone else. So they had to create a different entity. And so here in Houston, my mother worked at Texas Southern University, which is the HBCU here. She retired from there about 3 years ago after 30 years.
Wow. Congratulations to her. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So after 30 years, she worked in the Barbara Jordan collection in the library. So I got to watch her give tours and show people everything about and educate people about everything Barbara Jordan, from U.S. senators to all of these high profile politicians that would come into Houston to come specifically to this collection. So I ended up wanting to go to school over there. So I did. And fast forward, I was in one of these classes and I was, you know, I always expected to be some type of executive. And then as time passed on, I wanted to be an attorney. So as I was in college and I was finishing my first degree, there was someone in one of my management courses, and she wanted to get a real estate license. We were just talking, and her fiance at the time had already started another business. So they wanted to be entrepreneurs. And so as she was explaining this story to me, I said, I like that. I want to get my license too. So I decided that before I went into law school, I would take 6 months off because you can't work the first 2 years of law school. And I would practice real estate for 6 months so that I would learn investments and one day be able to help build communities in that part of law. And so that 6 months has turned into 17 years and I've never looked back.
Wow, that's amazing. Isn't it just so funny how some doors can be open to us without us knowing that leads to long-term journeys and commitment. And so that's just a wonderful, wonderful story. So tell us about what you do today.
Today, I am the broker owner of Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Tiffany Curry & Company Realtors here in Houston, Texas. Here we do residential and commercial real estate. And we also service a specific level of clients in the global and relocation market, in addition to high-level executives and some high-profile people in our Houston market. And that is an extension of the business that I had as a realtor. We just carried it over to brokerage. And so I'm very excited because it's a different arena for a lot of the agents when they come into our fold, but also it is a different arena for me as I'm starting to learn as I go out and visit more people. It's a different thing that we're doing that's not normal.
When you say different thing that you're doing that's not normal, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we have specialized client services. So as a real estate brokerage, of course, we have buyers and sellers, but our buyers and sellers also have we also have customized services available to them under our concierge, where they actually are able to, when they purchase a new home or a home in general, we do have a stager on staff that will actually go into the house after they get settled and help them arrange things. And they get 2 hours of shopping courtesy of us, of that person being paid to actually help them shop for the things that they're lacking to make their house a home.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I mean, this is a different level of real estate that most actually know in the residential market. So, wow, that's really amazing. You're also a leader in the National Association of Realtors. And also,
yes, so I've been licensed for 17 years, but for the last 15 years of those 17, I have been heavily involved and engaged in leadership within the real estate community. And I will tell you, Veronica, I ventured in under YPN because I had no idea. Remember, I came in out of college. This wasn't expected. I knew absolutely nothing. So I got involved. And so I got a chance to share my talents, but also engage with other people from in my local, my state, and nationally that have truly blessed my journey in real estate.
Oh, and I'm sure you've blessed them too. I mean, we've worked together at the National Association of Realtors. So I'm just so, so blessed to know you, Tiffany. You're such a role model to a lot of people. And so I wanted to ask you, if there was one challenge that comes to mind and how you overcame it, do you mind sharing that?
I will. I will share my greatest challenge during my 17-year career. So I started during a recession, and I want to give people this because of our current climate and what we're about to go through with all the changes. And basically, it was chaos. There was a lack of sales in the marketplace. There were a lot of foreclosures and short sales. There were more realtors than transactions for the most part. And then all the people that I knew, remember, I came out of college. They were either going back to school or moving in with their parents because they couldn't find jobs in their fields. You know, you have all these college graduates coming out and there was no jobs for them, right? So they had to take what they could get. So they weren't buying real estate. And so I will tell you that shift, that's a big word for me. So when I came in, I didn't have people to sell real estate to. I had to shift and I had to pivot and I had to find opportunity in what was there. And during that time, I will never forget, I had almost $30,000 saved. And that $30,000 was gone in within the first 6 months of me being in real estate, because yeah, I bought everything that people told me that I needed to be successful, every training, every system, every this and every that. And what I realized at the end of the day is real estate is all about you and it's all about people, and all that stuff that I paid for, I really didn't need. Mm-hmm. I needed to hit the ground and just be out there. So in my company, we believe in real estate with a personal touch. So it's all about the person. It's all about what I always educate people. People move because of lifestyle. And something in their life has changed, whether they've gotten married, they have a growing family, they're moving for a job, whatever it is, it's all about what's happening in their lives. And I will say that the moment that I began to tap into people's lives and why they needed to move was when my business actually picked up. But the challenging part of that was not having business and being on the verge of quitting. So I almost left this business, not because I wanted to, but because I was going to be forced to, because the money was not there. And so that's where that shift came in, where I had to pivot and I had to find what was called a niche of what I would focus on, was that one thing, so that I could help people, but I could also help myself in earning a living so that I could stay in this business.
Yeah, well, talk about perseverance, let me tell you, and commitment. Why, Tiffany, that is just amazing how you went through. And I assume that's during the GFC, Global Financial Crisis, in 2008. Is that basically?
That's it.
Yep. Oh, boy. Congratulations. What a wonderful, wonderful story. So let me ask you about influence. If there was one outcome that you are most proud of, where you have been able to contribute to that positive outcome, what would that be?
You know, it's funny. I love this question for so many reasons, because, and I'm going to reference it to something most recent. So we just came back from the National Association of Realtors President Circle in Miami, Florida, which is the 20th anniversary. And I cannot tell you, Veronica, how overwhelmed I was at this conference. It was my favorite one yet. And it wasn't about the location or things like that. It was about the people. And what was so special to me was there were so many people came up to me to tell me how much my career means to them. And that is huge in itself. So I am so excited about the influence that I personally have had on people, to where they feel like they can start their own companies, or that they can take their companies that they've already had to new levels. And the first thing they say to me is, we've never seen anyone like you that looks like you doing this at this level, and just being yourself. You're not changing to be someone else. You're in your own skin and you're actually doing things and you don't really notice it, but you're opening a lot of doors for other people, and you're showing a lot of other people that they don't have to come from a certain background, or they don't have to be a part of a certain family to go certain places. So that influence is huge to me.
Wow. Congratulations. Like I said, you're such a role model to a lot of people. And sometimes when we do things and just be committed to our own journey, right, and being true to ourselves, we don't even realize how much impact we have with other people. And so you are a great example of that. So I thank you for that. It's just really quite amazing. Okay, let me ask you, if there was one piece of advice that you could give to our audience, what would that be?
One of my favorite quotes, I gave this quote when I won Woman of the Year for in Houston. It's Babe Ruth. It's hard to beat a person who never gives up.
Well, tell me a little bit more about your thoughts on that quote. What a beautiful quote.
Well, I love that quote because it's like, it's say for instance, if you, as long as you're in the game, you have a chance at winning. The moment you quit is when it's all over. And I'll just use this analogy. If there are 20 doors, if you're in a space and there are 20 doors, and the first five you go to and you try to open them and they won't open, keep going. Just keep going, because there are one of those 20 doors are going to open, and it may be several of those 20 doors that are going to open. But it's just as you're going, don't quit, because for most people, they don't realize you're right at the cusp of where you're supposed to be. And there are entities that want you to turn back. Don't turn back. Keep moving forward in everything. And I will say this, that's a huge quote, because we often think we have our own vision of how we see ourselves or how we feel like we should go. But as you're starting to go amongst your journey and you start to get turned around in different ways, those turns are for a reason. Those turns are to shift you into something that you did not see of where you're actually supposed to be.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful. Absolutely fabulous. Well, we've come to the point of our interview where I get to pass the mic on to you, so to speak. So I know you have a question for me, so I'd love to answer it.
I do. And well, first off, I want to say thank you so much for your contributions, not only at NAR, your local and your state, but also in commercial. You are setting a trend and a presence for women in commercial. And I want you to know that and receive that. Of course, as I've served at NAR, I was a liaison over the Smart Growth Committee. And what I saw you do there, I was totally in awe of. I just want to say that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I often talk about that, just so you know, to different people.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate that. Never knew, but thank you.
And that goes back to what you were saying. We never know what people, how people perceive us. Mm-hmm. But my question for you and for the audience is, you know, being a woman in commercial real estate in Florida and being a woman of color, oftentimes when we go into commercial real estate, it's male driven and they all look the same. How are you able to overcome those challenges, come into that market, and how are you able to continue to grow at the level that you are in that space?
So thank you for the question. I think it's a very, very important question. As a matter of fact, I've been asked that quite a bit. You know, it is common for a lot of industries to be male dominated and white male dominated. I'll just say that. I mean, think about the construction business. Think about commercial real estate and technology, engineering. It's just male driven. And I think that from the very beginning, just like you, I believed in pursuing excellence. And through that, you want to be very well educated in what you want to specialize in. And also network. I think that if you show up and people see you all the time showing up, that's the first step. And the acceptance of the community will follow. And sometimes, as I've said before in past episodes, sometimes some of these barriers are imagined. I think that we need to take away the imagination of these barriers whenever we're entering a space where we feel that we might stand out because we are different. But the truth is, most of the communities, they welcome you. Sure, you know, there will be, I mean, I don't want to diminish the fact that there are implicit biases out there, but for a general, in a general sense, I think most Americans are very welcoming, they're very forgiving, and a lot of them want to help. So I usually talk to my children about the power of asking. And so I'm always asking for help. I'm always asking to be mentored. And let me tell you, like you said, some doors may be closed to you, but many doors may be open to you if you only tried. So that would be my answer to your wonderful question. I want to thank you, Tiffany, for spending the time with me today. You are such a great role model. I can't say it enough. And I know that people recognize this. You are a role model to me, and I appreciate you. And congratulations for all your success. Do you have some parting words for us today?
I do. I will say, I want people to remember whenever they're on the verge of giving up or on something or anything, whether it's, even if it's not business, even if it's in your personal life with your family, remember my story. As I told you, in 2008, I almost left this business and I stumbled into this business because someone else, shared that dream with me, their dream with me. And I came in and I made something out of nothing. And today I own my company and I'm the first woman-owned Berkshire Hathaway franchise ever in the history in Houston, Texas. And more importantly, I'm the first 100% Black-owned franchise owner of a Berkshire Hathaway in the world. And that's all from someone that almost left this business in 2008.
Wow. So inspiring, Tiffany. Congratulations. I am just so happy to have you today. Well, I hope to see you soon. I know we're going to be in the conference in May, so I'm sure I'm going to run into you. But thank you again for being a part of this podcast and for inspiring so many women.
Thank you.